Would you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. I'm Tristan.
I like revisionist history. Sure. So I'll fill in a few blanks. South Side of Chicago, like Jim Croce wrote about, started doing songs at age, 14? Dad was a musician, blah, blah, blah.
I think something that really shaped me and a lot of musicians in my generation was having the home studio in the house from the time you were a little kid. And my dad we didn't have a nice unsittable dining room. We had the living room, or on the south side, the front room, and the studio downstairs, which is my dad's little music room. And he had like a VS-880 and all the old, expensive for us, but places to record. And so I think that was, part of my development. By the time I actually moved to Nashville and started to make records, I knew how to kind of trust my instincts. My college experience was great because it was the first time that I was able to get a education catered to my interests. And I didn't have a great public school education, believe it or not. And my 4 years in college were really just writing. And I think that was probably very influential to this new form.
You, from what I've read, kind of are counter what is hip and cool. You went to Nashville, but you're not much of a co-songwriter.
Right. I mean, well, I'm sort of a loner. I kind of like to set my life up so that I don't have to rely on a bunch of different people or relationships or men. And so a lot of the co-writing thing, I think, and this may be cynical, is developed for people who can't get to the end point without help. I don't know. I always felt like anytime I was co-writing, I was either helping someone else complete their ideas or compromising my own, having to explain every one of my ideas. It's a much more efficient process to be by yourself. And that was the thing. I moved to Nashville and for the first time was away from my father's studio, which was I had access to. And so I'd, figured out how to record by myself. I still think that, in this day and age, if you want to be a songwriter, it's not that hard to learn the technology, Pro Tools, all that stuff. It's very easy. Even GarageBand, it's amazing. I love it.
It's so easy to lump. Here you are. You're a singer-songwriter. So it's so easy to lump you in with singer-songwriters, and yet I don't think this is typical singer-songwriter stuff.
If you listen to a lot of music and you hang out with musicians and you know what's going on in the world, I think playing music in general seems sort of frivolous. When I really think about it, like all the things I could be doing in the world, all the things that are going on right now, sitting around playing music and toiling over this song seems sort of frivolous, but at the same time, I'm trying to figure out how to be relevant, and that's all. I mean, trying to figure out, why I should even be doing this, and if I'm not doing something unique and different, and I'm not entertaining myself, then I'm probably not going to, then it's not worth it. Then I should learn how to paint or something, or do something else. I mean, there's a lot of things that I would enjoy doing and feel passionate about. I really like that I have the opportunities that I have to do what I do, but, I believe in working hard and being worthy of the position that you're in, so that's all.
You did find yourself, the advantage of Nashville, obviously, is that you could just go out on the street and scream, I need a really good bass player.
Yeah, it took a long time. I mean, I've been in Nashville 4 years, and I've changed lineups a lot. But I've always... And I've changed lineups not because I didn't like the people I was playing with. Nashville has great players, and the expectation for musicianship is just incredible. And people are willing to play. I just kind of got out there and was very eager and very ambitious about asking any old person to be in my band and trying it out and not worrying if it didn't work out, you know.
But you ended up with a pretty cream of the crop group, did you not?
I have a killer band, and it changes, and all. I mean, this group that I get to choose from, they're all very talented, and they all write their own music, I definitely feel very supported, and they love my songs, you know, and they're invested in. I don't know. I feel very lucky to have the band that I have. You know, my guitar player is super awesome. He's a writer himself and writes lots of weird music, and he's great. And he was my very good friend for about 3 years before he played in my band. So he got to watch it progress. And then he kept saying, you know, I'll play guitar for you. And I was like, no, the band's not ready for you. You know, so I kind of had to wait till I got Jordan on board, who's my bass player and singer. And she's the closest thing to Emmylou Harris, if you want to hear a vocalist. I mean, and you can't really hear it in my project because she's a part of kind of a thing that we're doing in my project, but by herself, her own music, she's an incredible vocalist, one of the best singers in Nashville. And having her, and then her bass playing, and then the drummer at the time, I was like, okay, the band's ready for you, Buddy. And then Buddy came along, and now Jordan and Buddy are staples, and the drummer changes out, but the drummers are always great drummers that were changing out, very different. And
I don't know that much about the label. Is this a label?
No, it's a publicity company that also helps me with the logistical part of things of putting out a record. But no, I mean, I'm not DIY anymore. It's obvious. And Chris got my EP that I was folding myself, made of cardstock because it was cheap, and burning the CDs on my computer. He got one of those and was doing PR for me, you know, 3 years ago before, you know, when I was just touring, and he really believed in it and really loved it, and that was kind of the cool part of the whole deal. But yes, for when I first moved to Nashville, I used to, my main focus was writing and recording. I used to, I don't have time to do it anymore, but I would love to. I used to draw my own posters, show posters, and get really into, like, I'm terrible at it, but it was cool, you know, it was fun for me. It was something outside of music that I could take less seriously. And I still hand sew my demo record and sell those at shows, and I still do the 20-hour weekend where I'm sewing felt, and I still do all that because, you know, the music industry, you know, it's not, I'm not interested in sacrificing anything for celebrity. So I like for it to be, for my merchandise to be special and handcrafted. I like all that stuff. It's kitschy, but it's real, it's fun, and people are into it. So I kind of like to keep it special.
So this Baby Drugs song,
I think that song is about loving an addict, and that's what that song's about. I mean, I think I feel like the words are pretty clear. I think the narrative of the video was supposed to be, in my mind, that the ultimate sign of her love for him was that she was waking up in the morning and where in a relationship void of an addict, she would go out and get groceries and make breakfast for him in bed, but instead she flies to Vegas and scores drugs, and that's a sign of her love.
Why did you roll your eyes when I got to the song question?
I did not want that song on the record. I wanted to cut that song and make it a B-side, and I put it on the 7-inch as a B-side with Cheatin', which was also a B-side, and Eager, which was the single.
Oh, interesting.
But KCRW decided that Baby Drugs was a single by playing it, and it caught on. And I've since realized that the song is very immediate and it's provocative, and I guess that's why it caught on the way that it did. But I don't feel compositionally that it's the strongest, but you know, everybody's drawn to that song, and I'm not gonna deny that to people. The reason I thought Eager for Your Love was the single was because I've been playing it for 4 years, and you can tell audience, I mean, if you play enough live shows, you can tell like what song is most immediate or what the one that people are drawn to. And I remember sitting at a birthday party and like 20 of my musician friends busting out Eager for Your Love, and they all knew the whole song. And so, I mean, part of that was that same mentality. I just didn't know Baby Drugs. I guess I just didn't think that it was as significant as it ended up being. So, for people.
I say perfectionist, you say meticulous, I think is your word.
I think that both of those things. I aim to please my peers, and they're a tough group of critics, and so I want to make sure that I don't think that you should. I think that music that's half-assed always sounds half-assed. So, you know, some people are magical and they can do that, but it's very rare. And I prefer to make it so I can listen to the song from beginning to the end and think that it's finished. I didn't really systematically study pop music. I grew up not having a lot of money. We didn't really have a record collection or a lot of CDs. We have a few CDs. And I listened to mostly the radio, mostly oldies, 104.3. My mom really liked oldies music. She didn't like 80s music. That's what she would say. And so I had that growing up. And then I kind of, reached my David Bowie early 20s and started getting into music that I really liked. That was a little bit weirder. And did the whole college sort of David Bowie rock and roll kind of deal. And then I moved to Nashville and got really into country music. A lot of the old country, Skeeter Davis, Loretta Lynn. I'm a huge Dolly Parton fan from like the time I was little. I sang Code of Many Colors in the second grade talent show. You know, I'm really into Bob Dylan. I was really into Bob Dylan at a young age too, like a late teens. I always envisioned myself a songwriter and always wanted to do that from the time I was really little. So I think if you just do something enough and you're naturally inclined a bit towards it, you can really make it happen. There are things that my band members complete me in certain ways because I can't, I can't solo on the guitar or do anything like that. But, I also don't care.
So I've invented a thing called, I've done this with over 300 artists. I call it a musical sandwich. Yeah. It's two of your songs is the bread, and then a bunch of songs by anybody else you want to play in between.